So, God told me I was supposed to share a story with you guys. And I really didn't want to share this story. Like, I feel like I've kind of wrestled with this topic because God was asking me to be vulnerable in a way I didn't want to be. And to talk about my childhood and how stupid I was as a kid. And that's not always easy to do. Especially when you're closer to being a kid than an adult, like I am. But I used to be a wall puncher. And by that I mean, when I would get mad, I would punch pillows, I'd punch the wall, I'd kick things. I was that kind of guy. As a kid and as a teenager, I used to vent that way. And other ways. But that was a way where I could go to my room and I could not get in trouble for venting. If I do something in front of my parents or if I talk back to them, then I'm definitely getting in trouble. And so it didn't necessarily seem that destructive to me. And so one day, I'm sitting on the couch doing something that I think is important. And I don't even remember what it was. It might have been the trash. Maybe I was supposed to take out the trash. And my mom said, you should do it now so you don't forget. Even though you say you're going to do it later, do it now so you don't forget and make the house smell more like trash than it already does because three boys live here. And I did it eventually. I obeyed, but I didn't like it. And I ended up going back to my room. I had an exchange with my parents, and I was mad. I did what they wanted, but I thought I was punching the wall. And the next thing you know, I realize my hand has gone through my window. And there's, you know, glass shards and there's blood, and I still have a scar to remind me of that. And it wasn't until we were sitting in the clinic with my mom and dad there, with my hand bleeding, and I realized, and they weren't yelling at me or, like, telling me about what kind of punishment I was going to have. But they were concerned about me, and they were being patient with me. I'm sure they were disappointed to an extent because I was a teenager. I knew better than that. I wasn't 8. I wasn't 18, but I was like 14. So I knew better. And I got struck with an aha moment. Like I realized something. And I learned 3 key lessons, all of which I see embodied by the 5th commandment. We've been talking about the 10 commandments the last several weeks. This week, we're talking about the 5th commandment, and that is to honor your father and mother. Even if your parents weren't Christian, they may have fallen back on this one sometimes. But the commandment goes like this, in Exodus 20:12, honor your father and mother, so that you may have a long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. I think it's helpful for us to understand what the Bible is talking about when it's talking about honor. Because when we say honor in our culture, it can mean different things. I mean, is it giving Casey Affleck and Oprah and Chris Pratt an award? We're honoring them with an award? Is that what we're talking about? Not quite. When Oprah thanks her mom for all that she did so that Oprah could have that award, is that what we're talking about? That's part of it, but that's not quite it. When the Bible talks about honor, the Hebrew word is literally, it's a weightiness. It has to do with weight, heaviness. And they use the same word when they talk about God's glory. When we give glory to God, we're giving weight to Him. We're giving importance to His character. And we have a category for that in English, right? Like, oh, that's pretty heavy, man. Or like, 1.21 gigawatts, Marty. That's pretty heavy, Doc. I mean, you guys have all seen that movie. So we have that, and it's similar in Hebrew, except it's harder in Hebrew to see when something's a metaphor and when something's literal. But it actually, it makes it much more interesting. Because what God is asking us to do when we honor somebody or something is we're giving a weightiness to how we consider something or someone. And so children in this verse are being called to give weight to their parents, to their instruction, to their discipline, and to their needs. The first principle we see in Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 3. The Apostle Paul tells us, children, obey your parents as you would the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. So the first thing children do to honor parents is to obey. Is to obey their instruction. We need to give weight to our parents' instructions. The rules, the chores, the lectures, when you're a kid, right, Connor? It can get monotonous. And it seems like everybody's always giving you these lectures or these things you need to do. And it gets overwhelming. You go to school and there's rules. You go home and there's rules. But it's helpful when we're thinking about our parents to think about the bumpers at the bowling alley. Because when you have a little kid, they have those bumpers there so the kid doesn't get discouraged and give up on bowling altogether. And they're able to stick with the game long enough to learn the actual rules and the actual techniques. And so a parent's instruction is a lot like that. Your parents are paying your taxes for you now, but they also want you to learn financial responsibility so that someday you're paying your own taxes. Because they can't claim you as a dependent forever, although the age keeps going up. So, it's easier for us to think about, sometimes to think about our culture in general, right? We see generations come and go, and every so often there's a generation. So like take the Woodstock generation, the baby boomer generation. It's like the dream of John Lennon, right? Everybody thought that they had this youthful insight that nobody else had, and that everything else that came before was somehow wrong, and that they and this generation alone, in 1968, everyone thought we can be the generation to make world peace. We'll make harmony between all of the races. Everything will be equal. And yet, if you look at 2018, we're dealing with almost the exact same problems as we were dealing with in 1968. It's been 50 years. We're still fighting in wars that young people don't believe in. We still have racial disharmony. We still have a drug problem. In fact, our drug problem is worse. And it's because we had a generation reject everything that came before as archaic or obsolete. And by doing that, they just repeated the same mistakes that led to the situation they were in 1968. I mean, all of those people that had that dream are in power now. And the problems are the same. And I think if we think about it that way, it's easier. Because when we're kids and we're in the thick of it, and we're in our home and we're living under our parents, we can't see how we're going to turn out when we're 18 years old. And we get hit with the cold, hard realities of life. But if we look at history, it can help us understand the need to obey the instructions our parents give us. Whether they deserve it or not. Because that's the thing. Children are tempted to say, well, I don't need to respect my parents because they do the same thing that they're saying I shouldn't do. Because our parents are fallible. But the fact of the matter is, God isn't giving it out to kids. He's saying, obey your parents as you would the Lord, for this is right. Well, we would obey God without question, right? If God is waving his hammer of lightning up there on the mountain telling us to do something, we see Israel does exactly what God says, but as soon as they leave the mountain, and Moses is responsible for them, and they don't see God, they fall into a pattern of disobedience. And God knows that's our tendency. And so God isn't giving kids, he's not giving you an out. He's saying, obey as you would the Lord. Because you can't understand, but it's going to make it so that you're able to actually bowl without bumpers someday. Now, when I decided to put my hand through a window, I obeyed what my parents asked me to do, and there wasn't a house rule that said don't punch the window, so I guess I didn't break any rules. And yet, I was doing something else wrong. And this is the second idea. I wouldn't submit to my parents' authority. So even though I did what they asked, technically. I did it in a way that was resentful, and that hurt myself, and hurt their trust in my judgment. No one wants to submit today. Like, if you just log on to Facebook or Twitter, like, everybody's constantly trying to make the other person submit to them and their opinions and their views. But God takes this seriously. In Exodus 21, verse 15 and 17, God is talking about what the consequences are when children are publicly and belligerently disrespectful and hateful toward their parents. Whoever attacks his father and mother must be put to death. Whoever curses his father and mother must be put to death. Now, we don't do that to our children now, right? Well, in fact, when God gave this command, it was accompanied by a system where you would bring your child before the court, and the court would then need to confirm that your child, in fact, was conspiring to kill you, or your child, in fact, killed one of you, or your child was actually asking other gods to bring their curses on you. And so this isn't giving children permission to just kill their parents because they think they're being disrespectful, or for their parents to kill their children, is what I mean to say. But the main point is that we are supposed to be submitting to our parents' authority. And God is showing how seriously he takes this command to submit. Proverbs 13:1 says, "A wise child accepts the parent's discipline. A young mocker refuses to listen." A wise child. Christian band name. I'm taking that. That's good. But a wise child accepts the parent's discipline, and a young mocker refuses to listen. So are you a wise child, or are you a young mocker? Sometimes we will go along with our parents' discipline, right? They have all the power. We'll do what they say, or they'll punish us, and we'll go to our room like they say. But do we kind of drag our arms on the ground when they tell us to do something? Or we roll our eyes, or we make sure we get that last dig in our sister or our brother, you know, jab them in the ribs that last time? That last comment under our breath, that's not the spirit of submission. That's what God's asking us to stop doing. You know, sometimes waiting till 9:59 to send your parents the "I'll be home after 10 tonight" text isn't really the spirit of submitting to your parents' authority. Now, it's not the biblical ideal is not our reality, right? I know that. Like, God knows that. God knows that there are so many parents out there that don't seem like they care about what God thinks, and they don't seem like they're that worthy of honor. God knows there's going to be children that no matter how good their parents are, they end up being a black sheep anyway. But the point is this, and we see Israel was corrupt too. God knew. Like, Israel was descended from a guy, also called Jacob, Israel, who deceived his own father. He lied to his elderly dad, stole his big brother's blessing, and then ran away from home. And that is the guy who's the father to this nation, Israel. That's Moses' people. So when Moses is giving these commands from God, Moses is fully aware, and God is fully aware, how much they're going to fail to keep this commandment. It's kind of like, you guys saw that news story. It's probably a month or so old now. There's this 30-year-old guy, and he was suing his parents. He was suing his parents because they wanted him and his kid, he had a kid, to move out of the house. He's 30 years old. And for parents to be able to legally evict somebody, I mean, to legally evict anyone, any landlord will tell you, is not easy. And so this has been going on for a while. But this guy, he's suing his parents. And it's like he's trying to exert his own authority over his parents by doing that. But a 30-year-old guy should be thinking about what? He should be thinking about how he's going to provide for his family, and when his parents are old, serve his parents. And instead, he's only thinking about serving himself. And he's certainly not thinking about honoring God. How can you? And the reality is that we can't submit to God, and we can't obey God's instructions. We can't submit to his discipline if we're not willing to first submit to our parents and obey our parents' instructions. When the Apostle Paul is writing to his disciple Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3 to 4, he says this: "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God." So we've established what? We've established that that children honor their parents through obedience, that children honor their parents through submission, and now children honor their parents through service. Serving children honor their parents. And so the principle being laid out here is when your parents are old, you should be taking care of them, not putting it on anybody else, not expecting the government to do it, not expecting your church community even to do it. If you have the ability to care for your parents and your grandparents, that's your job. And it is a beautiful picture when people do it. I remember when my great grandmother recently, she was diagnosed with cancer, and for a while there, it was really rough. But I don't think I have ever seen the heart of that side of my family, of my mom's side of the family, to serve their parents and their loyalty. I had never seen that demonstrated like that before. But they were there all the time with her. There was always one or more of the children there with her at the hospital or at the recovery home, cleaning her house when she was gone, taking care of it. And it really is a beautiful thing, because our parents put in all of this time teaching us, disciplining us, yes, to keep us safe from ourselves, and being patient with us when we're sitting in the room of a clinic with our hand bleeding because we were being stupid. And then we have the opportunity to serve them. See, service requires you choosing rather than simply going along with. Like, when we obey our parents, they've asked us to do something, so we do it. When they discipline us, they hold all the cards, so we kind of have to go along with it. But serving can look like, if you're a kid and your parents aren't old yet, serving can look like doing the dishes because you know they need to be done without your mom having to ask. Or you see that the grass is getting long, so you mow the lawn yourself rather than wait until somebody makes you do it. That's the kind of heart that God is asking us to have if we want to honor our parents. For this is pleasing to God. Like all of the Ten Commandments, Jesus perfectly obeys this one. Jesus fully honors his earthly parents. I remember when Jesus goes to the cross, he has a conversation with his follower, John. And John's also his friend. John calls himself the disciple, the apostle who Jesus loved. And Jesus asks John something pretty personal. He makes a very personal request. And he says, Jesus knows the time has come. He knows they're going to kill him. They're going to put him on a cross, and he's going to die. And he asks John to take care of his mother Mary as though she were his mother. And John does. And Jesus fully recognizes his earthly responsibility to his mother. But he doesn't put it before his call to die on the cross, what God has asked him to do, but he still fulfills his obligation to his mother. Jesus is perfectly obedient, submissive, and he serves. Jesus is perfectly obedient and submissive to God. When Jesus knows the time has come, and he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Father, if you can take this cup from me, if you can take this responsibility for me, from me, would you? But if you can't, then I will go, then I will do your will." And Jesus has to go, and Jesus goes, and he obeys the will of his heavenly Father. And in Jesus' obedience, we see how obedience to our parents, submission to our parents, and service to our parents meets obedience to God, submission to God, and service to God. Jesus obeys the Heavenly Father. Jesus is perfectly obedient, submissive, and he serves. I mean, when children honor God, they're honoring their parents. So by honoring their parents, children are able to honor God. And that's really the big idea, I think, of this text, is that children most honor their parents when they honor God. And children honor God by honoring their parents. You flip it around either way. Because there's a heavenly reality to this command. Kids that truly, biblically, not traditionally, not what the culture says, is honoring their parents. You know, it's not measured in GPAs, college graduations, six-figure jobs, or the number of kids you have. But rather, God is measuring your ability to honor your parents by what his word describes it as. To biblically honor parents means that you also have hearts that truly honor God. So if you're a kid, if you biblically honor your parents, then you biblically honor God. And that means that the Lord will bless the family. That's why in Ephesians 6, Paul points out that this command comes with a promise. Ephesians 6, 1-3. "Children, obey your parents as you would the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may have a long life in the land." It's odd, isn't it, that this command and none of the other 10 have this promise attached to it. And I had to ask myself, you know, why this one? I mean, God makes this promise in relation to all of the 10 commandments. He says, if you obey my words fully, it will go well with you in the land. If you obey me in not letting idolatrous people intermarry with your kids, then things will go well in the land. But why is this attached to this one command and none of the other 10? I think the point is this. If we want to live long in our land, it's not talking about a patch of dirt by the Jordan River, right? That's not the land that Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about a heavenly reality. Paul is talking about the new heaven and the new earth that Jesus is building. Because unlike when Moses was giving the Ten Commandments, Paul is talking thousands of years later to a Gentile audience, a non-Jewish audience, people like us. He's talking to us. We don't have a stake in Israel. We don't have a stake in that land that was promised to the 12 tribes. But we do have a stake in the new heaven and the new earth that Jesus has promised to bring in. And so when we're doing family, when we're parenting, when we're being honoring children, and we're being children that honor God, we're doing it with a heavenly promise in mind. We're doing it with eternity in mind. We've been promised something far greater than a plot of land, than having lots of prosperity in this life. But we've been promised eternal blessings in heaven with God as brothers and sisters of Christ. And Paul, as well as Jesus, wants us to understand this. Not every parent certainly is going to like that their children decide to follow Jesus. Jesus is clear. There'll be animosity between us and our families in many cases. They may disown us. And you know, some parents, they might say they're okay with it in their words, right? They might say that they're okay with us being Christians or following Jesus, doing that church thing. But they're not really okay with it when the rubber meets the road. Like, they get a little jealous of how we're spending our time at church. We're not prioritizing family enough. Or we're giving up these things when we could have a better career in order to serve. And our parents can have trouble with that. But the reality is it doesn't matter, because if you're a child and you've decided to follow Jesus, that is how you ultimately bring honor to your parents. Whether your parents want you to or not, if they do, that's awesome. Because a God-honoring parent knows that their child's baptism is more reason for celebration than any college graduation. But if your parents aren't that way, you still bring them honor by deciding to follow Jesus. Because when we follow Jesus' example, we do fulfill our obligation to take care of our parents. But we also fulfill our obligation to serving God as well. Without heaven in mind, the promise is meaningless. It's not all about family, right? It's not all about the parents. It's not all about the kids. This family thing goes far beyond just this life. And so because of that, kids, you should honor your parents for heaven's sake. Like, don't honor your parents for your sake because it makes your life easier. Don't honor your parents just because you think it makes them happy. You're not honoring your parents for their sake or for your sake, but you're honoring your parents for God's sake. Because God wants you to be fully obedient, fully submissive, and fully ready to serve Him. And that's what God is preparing you for in your relationship with your parents. And so, kids, for God's sake, honor your parents. Because that's really what this commandment is all about. Children, honor their parents with lives that follow Jesus. I'm going to close in prayer. But before I do, maybe you're here today and you are fully aware of the dysfunction in your own family. Like, maybe you're fully aware that, you know, maybe your parents did the best they could. Maybe you're a parent and you've done the best you can. But you know that simply parenting for the sake of your children, or children simply obeying your parents for the sake of obeying your parents, it wasn't enough to give you peace and harmony as a family. Maybe there's resentment about the discipline that you received if you're a kid. Maybe you're a kid right now, not an adult, but you're still a kid and you're still living in your parents' room, and maybe you have trouble respecting your parents' authority. Maybe you resent some of their rules and instructions. And maybe, in fact, maybe some of those rules are unfair. Well, you have to understand that what God is asking you to do is to submit to Him, is to obey Him when you obey and submit to your parents. God is asking you to start serving your parents now, as a kid, so that when you're called later, you can serve them as an adult, and you can serve others who God calls you to. Lord, thank you so much for your church. Thank you so much for this community. Thank you so much for all of the families and all of the children that they bring with them that make this church community tick, that make this thing work. We We thank you so much for the parents that are dedicated to bringing their children up in the way that they should go. For those of us who have trouble with our parents in the past and need reconciliation, I pray that we'll invite you in and that we will make the commitment to serving you in that relationship rather than just them or just ourselves. And I pray that for those of us who are still children, who are still struggling to learn to obey and submit and to serve, I pray that you will, through your word and through the word that we receive this morning, Lord, I pray that you will strengthen us to do just that. I pray that you will inspire us to be the kind of children that honor you by honoring your parents.